When it comes to teaching young people how to deal with bullying, there never seems to be a shortage of advice. But how much of it is good advice? I mean, can you imagine if some of the same principles that are often given to kids were applied to everyday life for adults? Well, it might sound something like this.
Hello, what's your emergency?
Our house has been robbed.
Sure, you're not.
I'm serious. Please send someone straight away.
Sure, I reckon everyone is robbed at some stage in their life.
It's happening right now. Will you please send someone to help?
Help? You mean help someone rob your house, so?
No, I mean help me.
Cop yourself on. If they just want to rob your stuff, sure, let them have it. Are you trying to get someone in trouble or what? You go on now. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, 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 bye.
You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and yes, we'd all be in trouble if everyone followed some of the advice that's often given to kids. Thanks to Parables Productions for illustrating that for us. This is episode 2 of our 5-part series called Freedom from Bullying. Last time we established the definition of bullying.
Bullying is the superior use of power, and that power can take many forms, physical, verbal, social, relational, to intentionally harm another person over a period of time and for no good reason.
I would go so far, of course, to say that there are occasions when a once-off situation could be defined as bullying. So, for example, if a child or indeed an adult is subjected to a severe threat.
Some of the long-term effects it can have, both on the individual and on society.
For some people, for sure, it impacts them in a majorly negative way.
I am 48 years old. I still remember the names and can see the faces of the kids in my school that made my life a hell day after day after day after day.
The difference between normal conflict and actual bullying.
You know, conflict, say you and I push and shove in the corridor and we throw our bags down and we slug it out for 2 minutes and we're friends afterwards because we were friends before because we had a misunderstanding. You know, that's conflict between you and I. But that's not
Go
bullying.
Go on.
We'll do the live show now.
Yeah. And what research shows, both in Ireland and internationally?
42% of primary school children are involved in bullying in one shape or form.
Today, along with our own Stephen Cardy and Ger Shanahan, we look at the characters involved in bullying. There may be more than you think. We'll think about the places that bullying takes place, including the cyber world, and we'll examine the Irish policy on bullying. Let's begin by exploring what Paul Coughlin calls the theatre of bullying. Paul is the founder of The Protectors. We're very grateful for Paul's contributions to the series, and joining us again are the founders of Equip Ministry Ireland, Isla Jeffords and Joy Cantwell-Moore, and Professor Mona O'Moore, founder and director of the Anti-Bullying Centre at Trinity College Dublin. We'll also hear from our own Anne-Marie Miles, as well as highlights from author and speaker Frank Peretti.
Now listen, there are three kinds of people in this room right now. There are those who are wounded, there are those who wound, they like to inflict the wounds, they get a kick out of it, maybe it makes them feel better about themselves, maybe they've been picked on themselves, so they have to pick on someone else to feel better about themselves, the cycle continues. Well, the third kind, I suppose, is the person who does both. I guess I may as well make one obvious statement. It hurts. It hurts deeply, and sometimes it hurts permanently. And you know, because it hurts another human being, it's wrong.
So let's begin today's discussion on freedom from bullying. Here's Stephen.
Paul, tell us a little bit about the term uses, the theatre of bullying. What's that about?
Bullying needs a certain kind of environment, not just to exist, but to thrive. It needs certain things to be in place, very much like a movie or a play. We don't see a movie or a play just anywhere. We don't see them, for example, in a bathroom. And that is because bathrooms are not conducive to a movie or a play. You need lighting, you need seating, you need actors for a play. And that helps us get our mind around bullying because it's not automatic. It needs certain people to play roles. And our goal is to get kids to stop playing a certain role and play a different role in what we call the theatre of bullying.
You specifically mentioned four characters in this theatre. Who are they?
Well, of course, we think the star is the bully. In reality, they're not. They really aren't the most powerful person in this play, or at least the most potential power. The other character is the target. The third character is the bystander. We believe that they actually have the most capacity to change the theater of bullying.
There is, of course, you know, something that we don't touch on too much either, and that is that when we talk about victims, we have two types.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the sort of pure victim, as I call it, and then we have the bully victim, and that is a child who is victimized but then also can bully other children, and they're referred to in the literature at perhaps as provocative victims, whereas the pure victim would be classified more as the passive victim.
You mentioned there was four people, Paul, and three of them we've talked about being the bully, the target, and the bystander. Who's the other person in the theatre of bullying?
Yeah, that fourth character is authority, and I know when we think of authority, we automatically think of teachers and related faculty, when in reality, the number one line of defense against bullying are parents. And they are the authority figure that really needs to step up to the plate. They're the ones who really need to get involved in what is now the number one form of child abuse, at least in the United States. And that is probably the case in numerous other countries as well. I know Ireland has had its share of bullying issues. It's made international headlines, throughout the world. You guys are recently doing some tremendous work, and you seem to be very, very concerned about this issue. So I applaud Ireland and I applaud your organization for taking this on. But the parents are the number one line of defense, and not just in not rearing children who are abusive bullies, but also not rearing extremely conflicted bystanders who studies show very much want to help the person who's being bullied. But they, for whatever reason, they don't. And because of it, the psychological effects are remarkable.
This is family.ie. We're just getting started in our second episode dedicated to freedom from bullying. We need to take just a quick time out right now, and when we continue, we'll think more about the characters involved. We'll also look at the places where bullying takes place, including the much publicized cyber world. So stay tuned for that and more on today's program. In the meantime, you'll find more information about freedom from bullying at family.ie. Again, that's at www.family.ie.
McFly.
For George McFly, it was Biff.
You hear me, Fly? You hear me, McFly?
For the Karate Kid, it was Johnny Lawrence.
Sweep the leg!
For Popeye, it was Bluto. In films and on the telly, bullies are always easy to spot, and they usually wind up learning a hard lesson from their targets. However, in real life, it doesn't always work out that way. As Anne-Marie Miles explains, if you've ever been the target of bullying, you're well aware of their presence, even years later.
There are one or two individuals that if I can get away with it, I will cross the road when I see them coming. I mean, I'm 41 years old, and, you know, there are people who, even the thought of them right now, just gives me the shivers up my spine. So it really depends on who it is I encounter and how bad, you know, how bad the situation was when I met them.
Welcome once again to today's edition of Family.ie. This is episode 2 in our 5-part series, Freedom from Bullying. So far, we've looked at what Paul Coughlan of The Protectors calls the theatre of bullying. Many people would often think of the characters involved as the bully and the victim. Professor Mona O'Moore made the distinction between a pure victim and a bully victim. And Paul helped us realise there are actually four characters: the bully, the target, the bystanders, and the authority. So now we know who is in the cast, so to speak, but what about the theatre called cyberbullying? Back to the discussion now. Here's Jer.
Bullying is not just the physical aggression that a person might exert over another. No, that it's far more sinister. It can be social bullying, alienation, isolation, and cyberbullying.
There used to be a time where when you came home, you know, even if you were having a hard day in school or at work, but when you came home, you were home. And if home was a safe place and a good place, you knew you had at least, what, 12 hours of peace, basically, before you had to go back into whatever it was. But nowadays, unfortunately, and this is, I suppose, the sad circumstances that have led up to some awful tragedies in recent months for Irish kids, is that they haven't found peace from that kind of bullying at home. They've unfortunately been drawn to their mobile, their computers or whatever, and they've been checking things and seen more hurtful things, more things that are going to, I suppose, just make their life a misery. Mm. And there's no respite from that, which is very, very sad. That's the trouble about cyberbullying. There is no break from it.
Okay, but cyberbullying is a fairly recent development. So can you tell us more about exactly what cyberbullying is and why is it such a problem?
Cyberbullying is the big topic everybody's talking about now in relation to bullying, I think. Cyberbullying, I suppose, is a form of bullying carried out through an internet service. So it could be through email, chat rooms, you know, online chat rooms, social networking sites, instant messaging, web pages.
It can be text messaging as well.
Yeah. And it can be discussion groups online as well.
And the jury is kind of out as to whether, you know, one cyber attack is actually cyberbullying, or should there be many cyber attacks in order for it to be called cyberbullying? Mm-hmm. And again, I suppose one could argue that, yes, one could do that in so much that cyberbullying or a cyber attack is there for an infinite time, and also the audience is so wide, and so that in a sense constitutes repetition.
I mean, I get the impression that the cyber world is not a real world, that it's a virtual world, and that how we interact in it is just through a machine, through a communication system. Mm-hmm. We forget that there are people at the other end of it.
Yeah.
Like if we were to pick up the phone and speak to somebody, you're relating to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're writing, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low level one way communication.
It is.
And we don't realize the impact of those words and what they can actually do to the recipient to whom it is, you know, who is targeted in it. And I think there is a sense of betrayal in it where we drop our duty of care toward others and we launch at them, facilitated by the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person at the other end doesn't see the internet. It sees what you have said. There you have it, right in the face. And like you say, I think it's only when we get the response from the person do we actually understand what we're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it real then, and how shocking it can be to us.
Mm.
Yeah, and how hurtful it can be. And Jerry, you're describing it as a virtual world for more and more young people. For many young people, that is their reality. That is how they relate to their peers more and more. Facebook, Ask FM, all these things, at these online chat rooms where you can post comments anonymously about other people and then they can read them. There's no comeback. Nobody knows who wrote it.
Mm. I see cyberbullying simply then as just another form of bullying, a more cowardly form of bullying. But again, the incidence is much lower. I mean, traditional bullying is about 3 times as common as cyber.
Right. Right.
But I'm not upset that we're having all the attention around it, because I think it has awakened everybody to, you know, the ill effects of bullying, which are basically very serious, potentially very serious.
So it's a great medium for the coward, basically.
How do you actually break the power of the bully in a case like that?
Well, this comes back to the point of how imperative it is that parents are involved with their children, observing the behavior. You know, if our child has become sullen, withdrawn, difficult, if they're spending an awful lot of time on their mobile phone or on the internet, and they're not connected in the normal way, if you like, that parents need to intervene, need to act, and sort of say, well, look, we'll have a certain amount of time, say, for your mobile phone, because smartphones now can get them on everywhere, any time they like. And likewise with the internet, that, you know, that there's not unlimited access to an unbridled world.
Absolutely, Stephen. Like, it's a private world for the kids.
Mm.
We have no idea. Well, it makes me kind of worry and laugh sometimes when I hear the parents, you know, talking about, oh, sure, you know, God love them, you know, they're waiting for the mobile now and I only got them the S4 or whatever. And sure, they're very happy with it. They go up to their room and I don't see them for the night. It is great. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, oh, dear, you know, what are they doing? And just how foolish and how, I suppose, unclued in our parents to just be happy to fob them off with the mobile.
And as parents, there's an onus on us to educate ourselves around the computer, around the internet. You might be allergic to it. You might know how to turn it on. Go to a course. We need to be a step ahead if we possibly can, or at least try and hang on to their coattails, or we've no idea what's going on.
And we know that's easier said than done. But as parents and caregivers, our kids need us. Not to grow up sheltered, but to grow up to be strong. This is family.ie. We're in the midst of episode 2 in our Freedom from Bullying series. Stay tuned after this quick break for more about the current policies and what can be done to put them into practice. If you'd like to weigh in on the discussions, don't forget that our text comment line is 086-251-6886. And if you have any questions or comments at any time for which you need a reply, feel free to email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, that's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. And stay with us for more about freedom from bullying on today's edition of family.ie. Welcome once again to today's edition of family.ie. As I'm sure you're well aware, slagging is pretty common in our culture. It's often a harmless way of messing with your family and peers, and sure, we all know you only slag the ones you love. But seriously, when it comes to bullying, experts tell us that the intent is usually far more sinister, and no matter the form, it is not only harmful, in many cases, it's actually illegal. And we continue the discussion here once again is Frank Peretti.
I remember a scenario back in high school. Now, this time it wasn't me. It was a friend of mine. After school, this guy decides he's going to punch my friend out. Well, it happened. He punched my friend out. If I had any wisdom or any kind of experience, if I was a stronger person back then than I was, maybe I would have taken this guy aside. I would say, okay, can I talk to you for a minute? I mean, before you punch him out, can I talk to you for a minute? I just want to let you know, there are witnesses here. They're all kind of watching what you're going to do. As a matter of fact, if you punch him out, he is within his rights as a citizen to file a criminal complaint against you for assault and battery. And you could be jailed, and you could be tried, and you could be convicted for assault, battery, aggravated assault. You know, depending on how hard you womp on him, you could even be convicted of a felony. In case any of you don't know, pushing, beating up, hitting, shoving, tripping, violating the physical person of anyone happens to be a crime. It's against the law. And those of you who are victims of this kind of abuse, I just want you to know that your property and your person have a legal right to protection under the law.
There are laws in Ireland that cover these non-fatal acts towards people. There's two laws in Ireland. There's the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act 1997, which covers harassment, pestering, communicating unlawfully, that kind of thing. And if you can prove, and this is why I suppose when we come to the section on what can you do, you can take screenshots, you can document what's going on with you or your child over a long period of time. And there's another law called the Communications Regulations Act 2007, and that also covers harassment, bullying and other kinds of behaviour. So if you can document, which it is possible to do, and prove a case, you can take it to law.
Bullying is a process, so get it early, you know, and then we will not necessarily end up with having behaviour that can be defined as bullying, because at the present time it has to be so-called repeated, and of course it's willful and there tends to be an abuse of power.
Yes.
But abuse of power is really only when we have somebody who then comes out on top. So again, the whole process, you know, is ongoing. And we should, of course, be moving in very early on. But yeah. We tend not to, you know, I think an awful lot of children are getting away with it at the present time because they're, oh, bullying, it's not bullying, sir. I only did it once.
Going back into the 90s, there was a general policy issued by the Department of Education in relation to bullying, which was designed to maybe address it to some extent at that stage. But things have moved on quite a bit, and presumably your research has looked at this issue in the intervening 20 years, and things have changed. So the new strategy you're mentioning from the department, what's that?
Well, they have put forward a plan of action, which in a sense recognizes that there needs to be a sort of a national strategy so that every school needs to become much more sort of proactive in their approach to tackling bullying. It's not just waiting for it to happen. And the approach which has been shown to work due to sort of the international research that is available is what we call the whole school community approach. So they, in a sense, recognize that that is the way forward. Now, there has been a lot of schools in Ireland that have, in a sense, implemented this approach. But there's an awful lot of schools equally who haven't. It's actually fairly comprehensive, recommending that every school makes a record of the incidents. So their procedures need to be very clear so that every parent needs to know, you know, if they have a problem, they can go to the school, note will be taken, and then it'll be investigated. It doesn't need to be a huge affair. And then that feedback will be given to the parents, but equally the school will have a record. And so when there's a whole school evaluation, the schools will be asked to sort of more or less provide evidence of how they have dealt with bullying. So it's a terrific step forward. We should have been there, of course, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been a struggle. And that's why I see almost, you know, the attention that's now given, for example, to cyberbullying is almost a blessing in disguise, because it's allowed there to be this greater recognition of the ill effects of bullying, which we really didn't have with the traditionalists. As I say, it sort of felt like, oh, this is just schoolyard stuff, this is children behaving,
yeah,
you know, in a usual, normal way. But now with cyberbullying, and it shows, you know, the huge impact, we've had deaths as a result of it, if not the, you know, the primary cause, at least contributory.
Mm-hmm.
And again, showing that it affects adults as much as it does children. And I think that has, in a sense, motivated perhaps the government to sort of take action.
And we're certainly grateful for all of the hard work that's been done by the Anti-Bullying Centre at Trinity College Dublin to help push that along. But it's not all up to the government. It's not all up to the schools. Parents, grandparents, caregivers, we are the first line of defence for the kids in our care. You've been listening to Family.ie, and that was episode 2 in our 5-part radio series, Freedom from Bullying. For copies of this audio series and many others free to listen to or to download for later, we hope you'll head over to Family.ie. And while you're there, find out more about our comprehensive How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training course and information on how you and your community group can facilitate a group in your area. We'd be honoured to help in any way we can. You'll also find the hope story of Frank Peretti, which he shared at a Focus on the Family Life on the Edge conference.
Now, it's not a matter of opinion. That's not a matter of popular polls. It's not a matter of just what's in fashion at the time. It's wrong. It's truly, absolutely, objectively, externally, universally, and empirically wrong. And I don't care who or when or where you are, when you hurt, injure, or abuse another human being, it's wrong.
It's a moving story, we highly recommend. Again, simply click on Hope Story on the page for this radio program, Freedom from Bullying. Again, that's at family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks to our contributors, Joy Cantwell-Moore, Paul Coughlin, Isla Jeffers, Anne-Marie Miles, Professor Mona O'Moore and Frank Peretti, and on behalf of our own Stephen Cardy and Ger Shanahan, we thank you for listening. Tune in next time as we look at why bullying takes place, who tends to be a target, and how bystanders can make a difference. Until then, Slán Tamhail. Thank you for listening to Family.ie. Families strengthening families. Okay.